You know what time it is. This is Alex with Simply Gold. Thank you so much for joining our podcast again today. I've got my guest David Watson with New Creations, leather vinyl, wood, carpet, restoration expert, restoration assassin out of Little Elm, Texas, owner and operator of New Creations. Thank you so much, David, for joining. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me.
Man, I met David at networking. I meet a lot of people at networking because you're in the field, man. You're out there hustling.
Yes.
How big is your team?
Right now, it's two.
So, man, you're taking out the trash.
Yep.
You're taking out the recycling.
Everything.
Man, I know that feeling. I know that feeling. Who's your partner?
My wife.
Nice.
So my wife is my partner. She does mostly. She does the books, to be honest with you. I'm her runaround boy. She sends me out. So I'm the help, to be honest with you.
You work for her.
Technically, I work for her. That's exactly it. I work for her. But
that's cool, man. No, there's nothing cooler than a husband-wife team combo. Have you ever met Catherine and Anthony for 7K Associates?
I have.
Yeah, they're a husband-wife team also. And, man, I interviewed them here in the podcast, and it came out really cool, really passionate. It was her idea to start that business. Right. So for your business, was it your idea or was it her idea?
I was annoyed with what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing before?
I was a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
I was a teacher.
I've met a few of those this week.
For 17 years.
Dang, that's a long time. What did you teach?
So I started in the classroom with history and social studies, and then I moved to physical education and health studies.
High school?
High school and middle school. Cool. So I did a charter school, and so I taught both high school and middle school, but it got to a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. So I started searching and looking for something else.
That's cool.
So between her and myself, we decided to, hey, let's.
She teaches, was she teaching you?
No, she's an accountant.
Okay.
So she still does that. Actually.
Okay, gotcha.
She's an accountant.
So man, I was going to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
Yeah, good job.
I was going to be a teacher. I went to school for a year and a half to be a teacher for teach music.
Yeah, really?
Mm-hmm. I went to East Texas State A&M University, and on a music scholarship.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, like after a while, I was like, I didn't like it because I couldn't get through the theory. So the theory of music is, it's very historical. It's very technical.
Right.
I just wanted to play music. I didn't want to actually learn about it. And that's when I knew like this wasn't for me.
Right.
So how did you, like, what was that defining moment in your teaching career where you're like, man, I can't do this anymore?
I've always been a strong emotional person, but closer to the end, during COVID and seeing the struggles that the kids face, and I just got to a point where I couldn't take on their burden and my burden at the same time. And I got to the point where it became too emotional for me. And then you look at the whole politics of education right now, I just like, I can't, no, this is too much. If I had to just go and just do my teaching and teach,
right,
I'll be fine. But I had to take on so many different burdens and so wear so many different hats that it just got heavy.
Yeah, I've learned a lot from teachers where they describe that situation where it's not really teaching. You're really just maneuvering through the political games of education,
right,
making sure the kids hit their scores so that way the school gets funding.
Right,
has nothing to do with teaching kids.
Nothing. And then you see, because I've been doing it for so long, you see how it has changed over the last couple of years, and you're just like, nah.
Yeah.
It's not for me anymore.
So when did you resign from education?
Last year, summer. At the end of summer.
Okay, so it hasn't even been a full year yet.
It hasn't been a full year. And I was like, mm-mm.
Did you know that New Creations was going to be the next step before you resigned teaching?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did that journey come about?
So I knew a friend who bought a franchise. So he and I had a conversation, and I met with his broker, and you know, we went through the process of going through and vetting four different franchises, and we settled on New Creations. I wouldn't say settled. I think we chose each other.
Right.
And that started in 2022. So my plan was to go back to teaching for 6 months.
Okay.
And then I would go and do all my training and stuff. But I started teaching again, and I was like, I can't quit until the end of the year.
Right.
Because, you know, if I started something, I want to finish. I want to finish the year out. So I knew it. I knew, and they were like, "Hey, go ahead, David. Just wait it out until it's time. When you're ready, we go." So I knew when it was coming to the end of the year that I'm gonna go.
And so summer came, you were done. mm-hmm. and then you're ready to go for with new creations. Yeah. And it looks like you never look back. Every time I see you got the hat on, you got the polo, you got the brochures in your hand, ready to go.
Every business is let's say it. We've got to go hard all the time.
Yep. How has it been since summer now? So I mean, summer's coming up. It'll be your first full year,
right,
with new creations. How's that going?
It's been good. Some days, I question myself, but what I'm learning is that, hey, if you're not questioning yourself, you're not in business. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be roses all the time. Sometimes you're going to struggle. And we've gone through periods where we're like, oh, we're not making the numbers. And then next month you're like, whoa, we made those numbers, you know? Right. So it's been good. It's been good.
That's cool. What is the passion for working with those types of, you know, leather, wood, carpet, restoration? You know, where does that come from? Because I mean, there's thousands of things you can do for a business, right?
Right.
You could go sell insurance. I got 20 insurance people I could hook you up with right now.
Right. I think it came from my passion of just working with my hands, just doing stuff in the garage, tinkling, mm-hmm. just laying tile at home. It's for saving money. I didn't want to go pay someone, so I was like, let me do it. So I started doing that at home, and I was like, yeah, pretty good at it. And my cheerleader was behind me. My wife was like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. let's go. And that's where that came from. And I think the process of just learning all the different things that we can do, I was like, yeah, this is not as bad as I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. What did I sell? Window washing for a summer.
Mm-hmm.
And man, some dirty people out there, man. I'll go inside their homes. I'm like, you guys need to clean this place up.
Yes.
So I can imagine you probably go into people's homes.
Not just in people's
homes. In their businesses.
Yes. It's so everywhere I go now, I'm looking around like, that I can fix that. I can fix that. Everything mm-hmm. that I see that's broken, I can fix stuff. And I'm like, usually I go into a restaurant, it's just to eat. Now I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I need to come back and talk to the manager here, because I see stuff all the time.
Yeah, and imagine, I mean, you know, the customer journey, somebody calls and says, hey, I've got a thing that I need repaired. So you go to their home, you look around, and you probably might be able to capture one or two other things just right there, right?
Right.
What are some other areas that you fix or maintain or help within that home?
I'm finding a lot of floor damages, hardwood floors, vinyl wood, a lot of those, and countertops, a lot of chips in a lot of people's countertops. They're calling me for stuff like that. So we take care of a lot of that now.
Yeah. It's not really like a handyman. I mean, there's a lot
it's
of...
It's a specialty.
It's a specialty. Stuff. So right. Kind of go into more depth about the specialties in which you service.
How can I break this down? So any type of surface.
Okay.
One of the areas that I love to work with is wood.
Mm-hmm.
So broken chairs, yes, you can fix those. Anybody can fix that. But like a vintage where it's a specialty, hey, I need someone who knows how to fix this part of a chair. There's an indenture in the chair. There's a large scratch. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know how to fix a large scratch. I come in with all my tools, all my stuff that I get from New Creations, because we can't buy these things in stores. I can't go out and just purchase them in stores. We have to get this from the head office.
Right.
Nobody can get those. So you know, we can use those and repair something. I did a job for a client. Let me give you an example. It's her grandmother's piano chair.
Okay. Like a bench style, right?
No.
I've never seen
it before.
Okay.
So the
piano is like, it's got the thing where it opens in the middle, right?
Right.
Okay.
And then it's a single chair mm-hmm. I don't know what it's on. It's metal. It had like some griffins on the side, and the wood is just broken. The back is just broken. She's like, I don't know where to get this fixed. I can't take it to a regular furniture store because they don't fix stuff like that. She's like, I've tried to find people to fix, and they're like, no. And then because of that, the whole chair was shaking.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in. The thing about it that I loved was that it was her grandmother's chair. And we took it and fixed it for her. Took us about 2.5 days, and we went back and, you know, literally just watch her
mm-hmm.
tears came
wow,
out.
Wow, that's cool.
She's like, I didn't know. I thought I would lose this. Because not only is it my grandma, but the sentimental value that comes with it, man, that made it great for me.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
That's cool.
That's the fun part of doing what we do.
You know, I never even considered that as an industry in itself and something that could be available, because like my daughter, who's two, has this little rocking chair and she's always rocking on it and crazy. And in my mind, I'm like, well, if she breaks it, it's trash, you know? So then because of that,
right,
I don't let her sit on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that sucks too. Yeah. Right. So she's not getting to enjoy it because I'm too afraid if she falls and breaks it, you know, this chair that's been passed down from family,
right,
that we're not going to get to use it, you
right.
know? And to me, that's limiting, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not allowing her the opportunity to live in that chair, you know, for the fullest. It sounds what I'm describing sounds so small, but man, like that's right. the whole point of life right. is right. It's like we're limiting ourselves because we're too afraid to take chances, you know, or that this chair is going to get broken. And we're not going to have it around, but someone like you can come in, and fix those things.
Yeah.
I've got a favorite recliner that's been passed down. And it's got a huge tear in the leg. So, by the way, as soon as we're done with this, you're coming over to my. We're gonna schedule it.
Right.
You're gonna come to my house and fix it.
I can take care of that.
And we're just gonna knock it out.
Mm-hmm.
I know I owe you a picture, but it's we're gonna.
No, we'll get.
I'll
it.
Send you the picture tomorrow or tonight, but we're gonna go ahead and get it on the schedule. You know, so that way it's done. Now, would you also like fluff up the stuff inside, or is it just that
leather piece? I can fluff up the stuff inside, but I sometimes stay away from that because if I have to do stitching, I try to stay away from stitching because that's not my strong suit yet.
Gotcha.
I haven't mastered stitching. I didn't know stitching was this. I thought it was just so needle and thread.
Mm-hmm.
No, but there's during training, there's so many different type of stitches that is needed
right.
for different type of material.
And you could even strip it off and put a new material on.
Right,
you, right,
right. That's what I tend to do.
Gotcha.
Just strip it off and get a new one to cover it.
Yeah. No, that's way cool. That's way cool. So how do you generally get new customers?
A lot of it is through referrals right now. But sometimes we have to just go out and just talk to people and meet people. I do a lot. I try to do a lot of networking.
Mm-hmm.
Going out, meeting people, doing face-to-face, sharing my journey. I tried Facebook. When I say try, I don't think I've gotten a whole lot of return from that.
Like you just post it on
just
there?
Just post stuff. Facebook, Instagram, just post stuff.
I hate Facebook. I mean, like I try to sell things, random things on Facebook.
Right.
It's just a racket, man. It's like random people, they say weird things. And
right, right. Right.
I'm sure when you post it, or people like, hey, this sounds interesting, send me more. And then like you never hear from
never
them.
Never hear from them.
Right.
Never hear from them. So right now I use that just to post some of the stuff that I've done, the before and afters. I put them on Facebook. I put them on Instagram. So that's what I'm using that for. I'm not using it to advertise stuff. Just, hey, this is my page. This is what we do. Look what I did here. And a lot of friends comment on that. But
yeah.
You know.
Okay. But I mean, I network too. So networking to me, in fact, networking grew my business exponentially.
Right.
We've never posted an ad in 4 years. Ever.
That's good.
We thought about it. I had a signed contract in my inbox ready to go for $25,000 that I was going to run Facebook ads for, I think, a 3 month time period.
For $25,000?
Yep, $25,000. Wow. And I got scared and I chickened out at the last second because I was like, what am I doing? I don't need to do this. Right. Like, it's a relationship business.
Right.
You know, and a product and service that you're providing really touches people's heart. It's it's not just another policy,
right.
you know, for insurance, or it's not just another. Just whatever, right? So you're not mowing somebody's yard, right? I mean, you're really going in and providing something that means a lot to them. Otherwise, they just buy a new chair.
They just, yeah. And we've come across a few, especially in this area where a lot of people are wealthy enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just go ahead and buy. But if we can save something from the landfill,
right?
We'll do it.
That's cool. That's cool. So, the answer may be no, but I would imagine, so do you work on this, your craft, like on the side also? So like as a hobby, like do you find things wherever they may be, or maybe somebody calls and says, hey, I got this broken, whatever. Like, do you want it? And you're like, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah. You know, I do that. I tend to do that at home. So I did it a few weeks ago. I needed to work on a tile. So I got my hammer and smashed a tile at home and just sat in the garage and fixed it. I've gone and seen wood scratches, fix them at home, just working on craft, trying to make sure I develop and that when I'm called upon,
right,
I'm ready to go.
That's cool.
I'm good enough to do it.
That's cool. I wish I had a craft like that. I'm not handy. I can't fix anything. I can't put a ceiling fan up in the air. I can't fix nothing. I can't change my oil in my car. I can't do any of that stuff. Nobody taught me how to do that stuff. My dad never taught me.
Yeah. I can change my oil.
I promise I'm not too good for it. I would do it if I could.
Oh, it's easy. I won't do it though. I'll be honest with you. I don't want nothing to do with that. I'll pull up somewhere and let them do that.
Yeah. I wish I could. I would save a lot of time and money and all that. I just got my oil changed. It cost me $100 to get my oil changed.
Yep.
I was like, it took 2 hours to wait. It wasn't even fast. I got a free car wash, but it was raining outside.
You've got to go back and get that car wash.
Yep. It's crazy. So tell me about something when it got real scary, man. Like, you know, you don't have to go into too much detail, but like, if you want, you know, you can, you know, when was the time here in the last, you know, 8, 9, 10 months where you were just like, I don't know if I can do this, man. Like this, you know, if we don't make this happen,
right,
it's going to be bad.
Man, we started December flying. Mm-hmm. Like I was hitting numbers in the first 2 weeks of December. I was like, yeah.
This last December.
A
couple months ago, yep.
Yeah. And then the third week, nothing. The fourth week, hardly anything. Mm-hmm. And then moving into January, I'm not hardly getting anything. And I'm like,
so what attributed to that? Is it people just were stopped networking? People were just giving you, like, I'm on vacation, I'm this.
I think that's what it is. So I'm not a businessman. I don't know for my business, I don't know when my down period is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my first time going through that, where they're like, hey, just be, it's going to be okay. A lot of people are focused on Christmas gift. A lot of people are focused on the start of the year is when a lot of people are taking care of other things. This is not their priority right now. So that part, I started questioning myself.
Mm-hmm.
I started just doubting myself, to be honest with you. I doubted myself. I was like, nah, I wonder if I can go back into teaching. I wonder if it's too late. Because when you start making good money.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it dries up.
It just dries up. I was like, man, wow. Mm-hmm. And then another thing that I came across is I had a client, and I guess he didn't think it was done to his liking. A job that I did was done to his liking. I thought it was good. And if I think it was good, usually it is. But it so happened that I don't think he just didn't want it to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a client who just didn't want to pay. It was my first time dealing with someone who just didn't want to pay at all. And I thought I did a good job. So now I'm facing things that I've never experienced in my life. Sometimes, no matter how good you are, there's some people who are going to try to take advantage of you.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a period when it's not roses. So I have to be mentally prepared for stuff like that.
Right.
And those are my challenges that I'm facing. And, you know, I'm trying to, I can't say I'm great at it or I've graduated. No, I struggle with that from time to time.
Yeah. I mean, so we're in our third year, mm-hmm. right? So we started January 2021 and every year has been different every year. We actually came into January 2023 with zero customers.
Yikes.
Yeah. It was scary. So we were prepared for this last January, 2-3 months ago, to go through a similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we went so hard in Q4 to just to prepare for the pausing, the cancellations, because of the same thing that you're describing. People were calling up on the 20th of mm-hmm. December and saying, hey, you know, is there any way I can pause because Christmas, obviously, or New Year's and all this stuff. And we're like, yeah, I guess. You know, I mean, what are you going to say? No,
you can't.
So we're like, all right, that's fine. Whatever. So we came into January and it was crazy. this January was different than last January. This January, somehow everyone had a New Year's resolution to just mm-hmm. grow their business like crazy.
Right.
We signed up 16 new customers in January this last 2-3 months ago. But it wasn't like that the previous January. So like we document, we try to figure out the lulls and mm-hmm. the peaks and valleys, but it seems like whatever we do, can affect that outcome. So, you know, going into this next December, mm-hmm. 2024, you know, what are you going to do different? How are you going to prepare for that dip that comes in that we hope it doesn't?
Right. We hope it doesn't.
We
hope it was just, hey, not a lot of people know about us, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
We're a new company here. Yes, our company is big in Canada, and we're just now growing in the U.S., just now growing in Texas. So I think that once we get out there and start, you know, letting more people know about us,
mm-hmm.
That we won't have that dip. And I'm hoping that's the case. We won't have that dip. But if we do, I know I'll be prepared for it.
Right.
I'll be prepared for it, you know. Save up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you don't have any, like, it's when somebody needs something fixed, they pay for it and then it's done.
Yeah.
You don't have like a subscription plan or anything like that.
No. They pay for it and we take care of it mm-hmm. there and then. We work with a couple of insurance companies that send us clients.
Okay. That makes it probably a little bit more manageable.
Right. They send us clients like, hey, can you guys take care of this? Can you guys take care of that? But all of these companies are outside of Texas that we work with. We haven't had that relationship with anyone in Texas yet, but because we're new.
Right.
So my fingers are crossed.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
It'll happen. Man, you get one, you get 100 more.
Here we go.
You know, that's what I want. That's my mode is like, let's just get, the first one's the hardest, mm-hmm. my friend. Mm-hmm. It is the hardest. The first everything is the hardest. The first customer, the first testimonial, the first half a mil, is hard.
Yeah.
But then when you get there, the next half mil is even harder.
I can't wait for that first half a mil.
Yeah, it's everything is hard the first. You know, I started building a lot of insurance customers that I work mm-hmm. with. The first one I had to go through compliance. I had to get special permission for this. I had to go through that. But then I got 10 more because they were like, have you worked with insurance? And I'm like, you bet I do.
Yeah.
And here's an example. You know, we've already gone through compliance. We already know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine as New Creations gets more customers, has more experience, I mean, you'll have pictures on your phone. You'll have, you know, all that stuff to show people examples of all the work that you've done.
Right. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that, man. I walk around with in my truck. I have an old school album.
Mm-hmm.
Those picture albums. So when I take the pictures, I have them on my phone, but I do it. I can put it on my iPad as well. My phone is linked to my iPad, but I still want that old school album where I just walk into someone's office and we'll talk and I just, hey, here we go.
Right.
And just hand it over to them and go through stuff that we do. Look at what we do. So I still have that and I enjoy using that. And a lot of people for some reason just like that over just scrolling through the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that. So we're going to keep building on that. But we're going to grind a lot more this year. And it's meeting people. I'm new to business. None of this comes natural to me. So mm-hmm. talking to people and going up and expressing what I do is new to me. So every day, every month, I learn something new about myself and learn something new about how to reach out to the clients.
Right. Same. Yeah. So I'm in the business. I work at it. I mean, I work in it.
Right.
Right. So like, I don't just own it and have it with team and they do everything. I mean, I'm the business development person. I'm actually the only person, typically that mm-hmm. generates revenue. Now my partners generate revenue. My clients, you know, upgrade, they buy new additions and things like that. But I'm typically the one boots on the ground mm-hmm. every single day going out and meeting new people. And that's really helped me understand what is it that my customers want,
mm-hmm.
right? And what are they really looking for? And sometimes we have to make an adjustment, you know, because what we think they want,
right,
it doesn't matter. What we have to provide a solution
right.
to them.
Right.
You know, so when you go and you network and you speak to somebody, you know, what is that one thing that you mentioned? What's your, you know, your 10-second spiel? What is that thing that's like, hey man, who is New Creations? What's your response to that?
Wow. Still working on that. I've switched that so many times, but I try to let everybody know, whoever I speak to, that, hey, no matter what it is, I can help you find a solution to your problems. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I might not be the solution to your problems, but because I've met so many people, I know where I can help you. Let me know how I can help you. So that's one of my things. I can help. Just let me know what you need help with. I can help you. I can find someone that can help you if I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I try to be genuine. I try to be authentic. And that's from my background.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think it's the only way to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm learning so much about personal brand and why that's important. And it's becoming less about what I sell.
Right.
Because people buy from people.
Right.
And one of my themes for this year that I'm learning through networking is people buy who they like, trust, you know, and all those things. So I'm trying to make sure that that's always me, right? I want people to like me. I want people to trust me. I want people to see value.
Mm-hmm.
What I sell and provide after that, it's just a byproduct of who I am.
Right.
Right. So I'm, you know, New Creations, I mean, I didn't know what the name, I didn't know what you did, right?
Right.
Just with that name. But when I learned more about you, that was able to transfer over to, okay, I like him.
Yeah.
I trust him. I know he's going to do work. Good work. And so now I can refer you.
Right.
You know, so you mentioned a lot of your business comes from referrals, you know, so establishing a referral network is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure you didn't just come out of the gate summer one, you know, and just, you had all this business, you know, people just throwing their stuff at you. How did you get that first, you know, four customers, let's say?
I was driving around, just going into people's offices, going into different areas and just working. So my first customer I did, a friend of mine had a boat and she was selling her boat, and she was on my Facebook page, and I messaged her. I was like, hey, I see in your boat that you have some scratches on your leather. Can I fix that for you? She's like, you can't fix this because you have to. No, I was like, no, just let me do it. Let me fix it for you. I'm not going to charge you a whole lot. Just let me fix it. So I did that. Came out really good. And then I was like, I never thought that boat would be my area as well. So I went out and I, you know, just let me go meet a lot of boat people, a lot of the stores. So I had to go to a lot of the stores and I did stuff cheaper than I wanted to. Just so that I can get my name
right
out there, just so that they can see what I do. So my first three or four was working on boats, scratches, raccoon, scratches in boats.
Yeah.
I did those. And that was my first four. I was scared because I'm like, this is my first job. What if I mess up?
Right.
What if it's not perfect? What? But those, you know, were really good start for me.
Did you ultimately get referral business from those?
I did.
Okay, cool.
I did. I didn't get a few.
Because we do the same thing. Like, it's not that it's cheap. You know, it's in my opinion, we don't say, oh, well, you know, we're going to give it to John cheaper, right?
Right.
We just, unfortunately, it's an investment back, right? It's part of our marketing plan. Yeah. So I would say, you know, for you, David, that was your marketing plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, look, I'm gonna discount this for you, not because I think it needs to be discounted, but I'm willing to invest because I know you're going to tell five of your closest friends and send those our way. Yeah.
I struggle with that part even now, though. Sometimes, especially when I was coming out of that low period in December, January,
right.
I was like, do I need to drop my price? And I had someone tell me, no, don't drop your price. No. They'll see your quality in a bit.
Right.
They'll see it. Just stick to your stuff.
Yeah, that's a tough call. And especially if you're selling to a network, because if you drop it too many times, then the word gets out and then people are like, well, I thought, you know, I heard it was only this much.
Right.
And you're like, wow, that was, so then it gets real awkward.
Right.
Right. Cause then it's like, well, I was doing a favor for so-and-so and well, that, why not me? And,
right.
And you're just devaluing.
That's what I was telling
your service.
If you start dropping the price, everybody's going to want that same.
Yep.
It's like, no. All right.
And then those become your worst customers, man. They complain so much. My biggest customers that I work with give me the less problems. The ones that have gone through, you know, maybe a discount here or there, you know, become issues for us. But no, man, I mean, if, you know, stand behind it. I mean, I imagine the better you get, the more busy you're going to get. at some point, hopefully you'll be able to kind of pick and choose,
right.
You know, what you want to work with, right. Who you want to work with. And then, you know, scale your programs and your pricing from there.
All right.
So that'll be really cool. Going into 2024, getting new creations, you know, where you wanted to be, you know, what is that going to provide for your family? Like how does that contribute to your personal goals?
So one of my personal goals is to spend more time with my kids. Because I was a teacher, every time they're off, because of where our school districts were, so we were off on conflicting mm-hmm. weekends, I didn't get to go in to drop my kids off in the morning because I had to be at school. So now that I'm able to control my time, I get to hang out with my kids a little bit more.
Okay.
So that's one of my goals, to just keep just hang out with them.
And you just got to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the school season.
During spring break.
That's totally cool.
One of my things is my wife still works.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to just focus on new creations. So I have to be making enough money to cover everything.
So that's what keeps you up. That's what's getting you going, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to grow the business. Just let's see how we can grow this year. Do I need to hire someone else? I need to build a team. That's my ultimate goal, to mm-hmm. build a team here in North Dallas. That's one of my biggest goals.
Yeah. And then just go from there. Mm-hmm. I mean, people ask us, you know, how did you do it? And I'm like, well, we just went to work every day. We didn't quit. You know, we got up at 7,
mm-hmm.
got in the office, left at 6, 7, 5:30, whatever.
Right.
You know, didn't take time off. You know, I didn't, you know, I had my weekends to my kids and all that was great, but I never took like a random Tuesday and just did nothing, you know.
Because if you don't work, you don't eat.
Right. Yep. One of the cool people that I just met recently in networking, Shawnee. I don't know if you know Shawnee.
Mm-hmm. I know Shawnee.
She's been preaching, just know your numbers. And it really just kind of stuck in my head. And, you know, people always say it, but sometimes it just takes a different person to put it in perspective. Always knowing my numbers, man, in the peaks, the valleys, trying to get ahead of it. There's a book I'm reading right now, which is called 5 Steps Ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just being proactive, being as much proactive as I possibly can and creating mechanisms within the business to make it manageable, predictable, try to keep it stable. That seemed to work for us going into this year.
What does that know your number mean?
So everything is a metric.
Mm-hmm.
And so the end metric is usually sales. Right. And especially if you and I are in the same boat, right? We do the same job. So, you know, you go into, let's say, April, and you're mm-hmm. like, all right, I want to make this much money, and then break that down into, well, how many customers is that? Okay. So then, well, how many presentations or people do I need to speak to get to that?
All right.
Right. So knowing your ratios, knowing like, okay, if I go to a networking event, I need to book 4 face-to-faces so that way I can close 2 new customers.
Right.
Like, it's knowing that to a T. So, you know, track your next 10 conversations. Anytime you talk to somebody and they say, well, what do you do? And you're like, oh, I'm in new creations. This is what I do. This is a service. This is about the price we have, blah, 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 blah. That's a tick, mm-hmm. right? That's a check mark. So of the next 10 people that you talk to, documenting, how many people were interested? How many did I put into a scheduling queue? Mm-hmm. And how many people did I ultimately close? And then get that number to tighten.
Right.
Because we're to the point now where we go to a networking event, we'll set up 4 to 5 face-to-faces, we'll close 3 of them every single time.
That's good.
We're so metriced on it, because then I can take that number to my team and coordinate that to, okay, how much money do we need to hit our goal for April? Mm-hmm. Is it $2,000? Great. I can say, all right, I need 5 customers to hit that, which means I need, so if for every 4 face-to-faces I book 2 mm-hmm. new customers, then that means, let's see, 4, maybe 2, if I need like 10 new sales, yeah, it's like 20, I need to talk to 20 people to reach 10, just as an example, right? So I can go in and say, all right, I need 10 new customers this month, I need to at least talk to 20 people and pitch them. Because if I'm not doing that, then there's no way I'm going to hit the goal. So in order to hit those 20 conversations, I need to go to divide that by 4, okay, which is what, 6?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm not good with math. 20 divided by 4. It's 5. So I need to go to 5 networking events. Minimum. Right.
That's per week or for the month.
It's for the month, yeah. Right? Which isn't a lot, but that's what I'm talking about it, for us knowing our numbers, like to a T. You know what I mean? So that's 5 hours. Like everything has to be broken down, plus the half hour that I use after the meeting. So now it's actually closer to 7.5. So I need to delegate 7.5 hours to going to 5 networking events, to book 20 face-to-faces, to close 10 new customers, to generate X amount of dollars. That's knowing your numbers. Nice. To a T.
Yeah, I need to work on my numbers then. Yeah, we're not at that point. But see, you learn something new.
Yeah, I mean, and today's Monday. You can start today. Mm-hmm. You can say, all right, how many networking events are you going to go to? Probably 2.
This week?
At least 2?
Yeah, at least 2.
So
at least 2.
Yeah, so 2. So let's say 2, right? So at 2, you know, I would say, as someone who's been in Master Networks for 1.5 years, right, I would say your goal needs to be at each one set a minimum of 4 on the calendar, face-to-faces.
Right.
And then from there, track, okay, you know, as long as they're qualified face-to-faces, people who can use me,
right,
which is a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right. So track your how many people do I speak to and how many appointments do I set, consultations or, you know, whatever the next process is, right?
Yeah.
Start tracking that. And then every single week, just do the exact same thing. And then because you're in the field having coffee, doing lunches and all that stuff, assign a dollar amount to it.
Right.
Because then you'll know how much does each customer actually cost me, right? Because networking costs money.
It does.
Right.
It does.
It does. It can be expensive. Mm-hmm. I've had customers. Well, actually, I've not had that customer. So I've courted prospects who I thought were going to be high value. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I bought wine. I took them to dinner.
Right.
And so at one point, I got my sheet out and I was like, okay, I have spent over the course of, let's say, 2 months, about $600 on this prospect because I thought it was going to be, I thought I was going to close it.
Right.
But then I didn't close it. So I'm out, right? 600. I lost. Yeah. I'm in the red $600 plus, you know, about 4 hours worth of time.
Right.
Which also has a dollar amount attached to it. Mm-hmm. So my time is worth about $100 an hour on, like, just ballpark, right?
Right.
So that's 6, 7, 8, 9. So that's $1,000 that I've spent to try to close this customer. And at one point, it's not worth it anymore. Mm-hmm. So I got to be done with it.
Right.
Right. So break that down even further. You know, every coffee you buy, just write it down. Every lunch, being strategic with, you know, hey, David, let's meet for a face-to-face. Well, where do you want to meet? Okay. Well, now I got to think about
how much is going to cost.
How much is this going to cost me from a marketing component?
Right.
If I really think that there's a, like, maybe you're an antique buyer, right? And you fix a bunch of stuff, man, I'm gonna drop some money. I'm gonna say, man, let's go. I eat steak.
Yeah,
I got you. But if in conversation you're like, man, I have this one thing that, you know, probably just needs to be fixed, and I don't need anything else. It's like, all right, we can still face to face, but let's go have coffee.
Let's go,
you know,
have
my
coffee.
Investment will be about $5-8 maybe. I'm hoping to close that account, and then you'll be my customer. Now I'm in the profit.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just always going to be in the red.
Right.
I just blew your mind, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I just realized how far I am from. I need to start writing some stuff down.
Yeah.
And so I did a yearly goal. My wife and I, we sat down and we did a yearly goal. And my goal was, you know, I need to make this amount of money. How much am I going to, how much money do I need to make?
Right.
So we put a number goals to that. And I need to do at least one face-to-face per week, but as you're saying, putting the numbers behind it, I never put a number. We've never put a number behind it, you know? So that's something new that I've learned that I need to,
yep,
to start. Cause that makes sense.
Yeah. You got to track everything. Otherwise you're losing money, man. I mean, cause again, it's all math, and I suck at math.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I've thrown out a number on this podcast session, I've used my phone, right, to calculate it. But you know, if the customer is only going to bring you, you know, $50 net, and but you spent $60, you know,
trying to get them
in, like, you've lost $10 plus all your time.
Yeah.
You know, and you hope it's a good relationship, but you know, the point is just tracking everything along the way. So that way at the end of the month, you may have made $6,000, but you may have accidentally spent 5 of that at, you know, networking and buying lunches and coffees and gas and tolls.
Because I drive a lot.
Yeah, you drive a lot, man. It all adds up. the book that I gave you, you know, I really like because it breaks everything down in the moment.
Right.
You know, and it's all those little bitty tasks. And, you know, if I have advice for the business owners, and I'd love for you to share yours as well, you know, it's just tracking everything along the way. Because fortunately, you know, this time next year, March 2025, and you'll have a whole 12 months of data, and you'll know exactly where the peaks are, where the valleys are. You'll know, all right, December's coming. We're going to take a hit. So I need to double down my networking. Right. I need to go to twice as many so I can get twice as many face-to-faces to hit the same goal that we did the previous. That's how you get ready for the December when everyone goes on vacation. So mine's coming up. We call it the December, the summer lull, because our customers go to Disney. They go to all these places. And so anytime we talk to somebody, they're like, yeah, I'm so excited, but I need to wait 30 days because I'm not going to be in town, or I'm going on vacation, or might. So our time's coming usually May, June. That's when things take a huge dip.
Right.
So we're just pushing now to make up for that coming up.
Because
we're
not, you know, it, it's coming.
Right. We're not making up for behind. We're making up for the forward.
Right.
So that we don't have to be stressed out this summer.
No, that's good. That's good to know. That is good advice right there. So I'll start writing, start putting numbers out there.
I'll help you, brother. I've got coaches too.
I don't have a coach.
It doesn't have to be a real coach. Right. And when I say real, it just doesn't have to be a professional person. You know, Brittany Hendry, she's in Master Networks. She's one of my accountability partners. I've shared this story in networking. I don't know if you were there or not, but she texted me at like 6:54 a.m. on a Thursday. And she didn't say good morning. She wasn't like, hey, I hope you have a great day. She's like, what are your goals for today? That was it. I was like, okay. So it's like that.
Yeah.
And it put me on the spot. I was like, oh my gosh, what are my goals for today? And so I texted her back. I said, set up three face-to-faces. That's my goal for that networking event. She's like, all right, done. No problem.
Do you plan your day out to the T, like every hour
of the day? Yes, every hour. So I'll show you my calendar here. I'll pull this over. So this is my calendar, and everything is planned out. This is last week, and what you'll notice here, there's even drive time.
Oh wow!
So I've got drive time. I've got, if it's before 6 a.m. or 8 a.m., these are usually tasks that I've got.
Right.
But yeah, everything's blocked off. Here's another drive time here. So I had a face to face here, and then I had a drive to the next face to face.
Okay. That's one thing I'm doing. I've started doing recently. Just started to hey, I need to do that. No, let's put it in.
Yeah,
let's put it on.
You got to put it in. I find that if I have like a long list of just tasks to check off, like they'll never get done because I haven't a lot allocated the time.
Yeah, right. That's what I realized. I've got to put a time to it. Hey, I'm going to move from here to this is what I'm going to do next. This is what I'm going to do next. This is the time that I'm going to do it.
Right.
And that's more effective for me.
Mm.
Because what I realized, if I had a list of things to do, sometimes it will get done, sometimes it won't.
Right.
But if I put it in my day that I have to get this done at this time, you know exactly what comes next. You know exactly what you have to do.
Right.
And that works for me.
And I also do a Sunday session. So I do it every Sunday, about 2 hours max, because I'm not trying to work
is what I'm not trying to do.
But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to prepare my Monday. So that when I come in Monday, I'm ready to go.
Okay.
I'm not figuring out what my week is. So
on Monday.
I usually do it in the morning between 9 and 11 a.m. It's quiet. My brain is clear. And literally, I make sure all my calendars are set. I send any invites I may have forgotten, attach any Zoom links I may have, and just get ready. So that way it's already done. So yes, I do all the prep in the world because it just helps me get ready. Even when during the week, I just lay in bed, I get up a little bit early and I look at my phone. I'm like, all right, it's 5 a.m. I'm not quite ready to get up yet, but I need to understand like what is in store for today.
All right.
How hard is this going to be today? Right. You know, do I need to eat breakfast or can I wait till lunch? Yeah. You know,
it's kind of like lesson planning for me.
Yep.
Like a teacher, you have to plan your lesson. I have to bring that now into this phase of my life.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. Took me a while to realize that though. It took me a while.
And fortunately with teaching, I mean, education, you already have all those skills.
Mm-hmm.
You just now have to apply it
right
to your business.
Right.
But that's, I just identifying, that's the hard part. But getting in there, I think it'd be easy for you, man. Just be systematic, lesson plan, you know, write your goals down and just know your numbers. And now you know what that means. And to it, literally to a T, how much business did you do last month? Boom, here it is. You know, what are you projected to do in April? Boom, here it is. How are you going to get there? Well, I need to go to, you know, 15 face-to-faces,
right,
or whatever, and just get there. So
I'm putting this down as a face-to-face as well.
Put it down. Put it down. And then put it down as a close. Yeah,
because
I'm going to get that chair fixed. So we're going to put that on the calendar today. Well, David, any last thoughts, just, you know, to business owners, to entrepreneurs that you want to share as part of your journey, that, you know, and how they can be successful?
One thing that I say to people is like, hey, I've always lived, I wouldn't say scared, but I was afraid to make a decision. I was afraid to make the jump. Go for it. Mm-hmm.
Never a good time, is there?
It's never a good time. Just go for it. Just jump. Just go. Just make that decision. Hey, this is what you want. Go for it. Do not put off. Don't put it off. Let's wait till next month. No. Start.
Yeah, just start.
Just start. Just go for it. Sometimes you have to figure it out as you go, but go.
Mm-hmm.
Go. And that's my thing. That's what I do.
Very cool. I'm appreciative of that. How do your customers get in touch with you? Like email address, phone numbers, website, all the things. Share those with us.
My email address, you can get me directly at northdallas@newcreations.com. That's northdallas@newcreations.com. Or you can call me and I will answer at 469-980-1848. Or you can go on social media at northdallasnewcreations.com.
Perfect. David, man, it's been a pleasure talking with you. We actually went over, we went 20 minutes over because I was just enjoying the ride, man.
That's good.
I'm excited. Hopefully we'll have you on this time next year and we can recap, you know, how everything's gone, what that 12-month process was like. And
my numbers.
Yep, and your numbers. David, he's going to go home and write down all this stuff.
I am.
We messed him up.
I am.
Well, thanks so much again, man, and we'll catch you next time, all right?
All right, man. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.